Hello. Good morning. Good morning, Salam.
Good morning, Colin.
Good morning, Minister.
How's everyone this morning? Morning, Honorable Mayor.
Good morning, you, Minister.
Very good, thank you.
Where am I? Good morning, everybody.
Morning, Mayor Singh.
How are you? I can't see you, but I'll find you just now.
Hello?
Hello? Where is our chair?
Morning.
How are we this morning?
We are fine, and how are you?
I'm fine, and right. And so this is the acting challenges of not sharing the experience, okay? And he's asking them to chair the session. So we'll be starting the meeting in the next 10 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. Apologies for that.
Colleagues, honorable members, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, I'm audible enough. Thank you very much. Let's start by apologizing for starting 7-8 minutes late. I have just been requested by through Chilega to facilitate the proceedings of this meeting. It looks like the problem of electricity in the Eastern Cape persists. The cloudy weather is a bit chilly and cold in Gauteng. I'm not talking about other provinces. Colleagues, without waste of time, let's get to business of this meeting. Greetings to the Deputy Minister, officials of the department, honorable members of the committee. Let's get to it. Let me invite the Minister today in this chilly weather to introduce her team and then we proceed. Honorable Minister.
Thank you very much, Honorable Modise, and good morning to all the Honorable members, and especially to yourself as the acting chair of the committee today. Let me also welcome all of our officials, senior officials from our department. I'm not sure whether the acting director general is online. Are you here, Acting DG?
Yes, Minister.
Good morning to you, and welcome to your team. I think all the colleagues are well known to members of the Portfolio Committee, and they will greet you when they come to do their actual section. Honorable Melissa, what I want to suggest to you is, if you are agreeable, we'll start with Sandpark, because Sandpark needs to leave us for another commitment. So if you don't mind, we'll start with their two slides, and my suggestion is that we can allow, if there's any questions, to Sandpark. And then from there, I want to suggest, Honorable Medusa, we just take the full presentation and ask questions afterwards. Depending on the time frame of this meeting, I may request to be excused, as there's a National Command Council meeting later this morning, but I'm not sure how long this meeting will take. We are obviously answering questions that the committee has put to us. So let me hand over to Sandpark. That is where we need to go to, colleagues. I don't see on the slide, so that's actually where the service is. Yes, that's where we need to go. So I'll hand over to the CEO of Sandpark, Honorable Madhuse, if you're agreeable.
We agree, Minister, but let me just get clarity. I'm sure you must have received the briefing last week, Thursday, I think, Wednesday or Thursday, that when we took the report of quarter one and quarter two, we could not get the report from Sandpark.
The Deputy Minister will be leading our delegation. And let me just apologize for her today, because today is National Arbor Day, and you would be aware that Coast is an area that is delegated to her, so she's attending to Arbor Day issues. But she will be leading our delegation tomorrow when I'm dealing with Cabinet Committee. So, and that is when Sandpark will be doing their presentation, and we'll also be following up on the responses of officials. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Minister. Let's then welcome the CEO of Sandbox, CEO.
Good morning, all of the members, all of the minister, and the colleagues. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Let me appreciate Minister and the Chair for giving us the opportunity first because of our other commitments. So the first recommendation that we want to look at was the one for the clean audit and improving our internal control system to prevent issues of misstatements and also to ensure that our target was met. So we have started working on this. Even now as we finalize our annual financial statement, we have looked at issues of correctness, completeness, accuracy, and adequacy. We want to keep this thing on an ongoing basis as we submit our financial statements. The one for the last financial year has been looked at by the board. The board has processed it. Now we are busy now with the AG. We get feedback from the AG. But what we are looking forward to, Chair, has also the minister committed that Sandbox will need to pursue for a clean audit. That's the response, Chair, on the first recommendation of the committee. The second one, Chairperson and all of members, was the one of developing a strategy to increase the number of visitors to national parks. We've seen a trend, Chairperson and all of members, last year. That time it was not COVID. It was due to the economic situation, the petrol price, and the CPI issues. But we continued, Chairperson, when we saw that, to develop a strategy for increasing the number of visitors to our national parks. This matter is under control for now, before COVID. With the COVID situation now, we have also developed a revenue generation plan and also a financing strategy for national parks. But for now, it will be part of our recovery plan moving forward in order to get our tourists back to our national parks. But we are seeing now a lot of excitement, Chairperson, all members, by tourists trying to visit our national parks after the lockdown. Sandbox should provide the committee documentation for the dropping of fences between Kent and APNR. Chair, these documents were submitted on time. They were provided to the committee. The other one, Chairperson, and all members, was the one of us clarifying doing different things in terms of anti-poaching measures, our strategy in order to reduce rhino poaching. Chair, this is a moving target. We are improving this area on an ongoing basis. We are learning, we are fundraising, we are doing more research in these areas. The use of technology is there. We need to improve on this area. The use of drones is being explored. Working with communities outside the park is an area that is needing the whole of government to work together and also disrupting our criminal networks. Chair, I also want to add that we also have air mobility using the existing air wind capacity. We're also improving on ground mobility. We're also using canines, dogs, in order to protect our rhinos here. But we continue to train our rangers because they must remain safe as far as they fight the crime out there. The next one was for Sandbox to fully implement the wildlife protection strategy to achieve transformation in the sector. This is one area, Chair, that is new, we need to improve on, but what is key for us is to work with our stakeholders. Even on issues of game donation, we're seeing a better improvement in terms of people submitting applications, But what we're lacking on, that we're focused on moving forward, is the participation of women and black people in the wildlife economy. Because it's an economy that is new, which is unknown, but it's a thriving economy. The next one was the one of Minister appointing an independent company. Minister gave up the mandate in Jefferson to appoint a company. We appointed an independent service provider to conduct an investigation to irregular expenditure. The investigation has been concluded and the report will be received by 3rd of September. That was the time we submitted check. I met the service provider yesterday. They indicated to me, Chair, they want more time to work on this area. Therefore, we have extended their work. We'll come back and feedback to Minister and the Parliament at the right time, Chair. The last one, Chairperson, was for some parts to do a concerted effort to increase the percentage of women in the establishment. Chair, this is one area that we have scrutinized in my office, because issue of women is very important. I'm happy to say, Chair, we do have now a GM, Financial Management, who's a woman. There are positions that will be even interviewing coming forward for the head of human capital. We have only shortlisted women for those positions. We'll be interviewing in the next 2 weeks. Therefore, here's one area that I centralized. Any deviation from this should be coming to my office for it to look at it. Thank you very much, Chair. I'll leave it there.
Thank you very much, CEO. Can I check the members of the committee if there are questions for clarity in relation to what the CEO has just presented?
Yes, Chairperson.
APNRs. We know that there has been quite a lot of controversy around the fact that key protected species from the Kruger have obviously ventured through these corridors into the adjacent farms and are being hunted. There's a lot of concern about this, and I'd just like to know what interventions are, meetings or discussions are going to be held going forward to address this very important issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Winkler. CEO, I invite you first, and then the Minister will close off with the question of Honorable C.
Thank you, Honorable Members, for the questions. Honorable Paulsman, around an organization attracting women. Firstly, we have a women's forum of the organization. They do discuss issues of transformation, issues of retention of women in the organization in order to make environment conducive for women to stay and participate. That's one situation. It's led by CEO, who is a woman. Also, Chairperson, it's about the organization. How do we brand the organization out there? How do we make sure the image of the organization is intact? Therefore, people who aspire to work for any institution, they always want to join an institution with no compromises. But broadly, from our side, Chair, is to keep the image intact, and also the issue of wildlife management, the park system, to make it as a choice. Because we say to the people, our job is to contribute to the present and future generations. Therefore, the retention of women is key, as we have a women's forum in the organization to discuss their own things. Even this Women's Month, they were very active in terms of meeting for themselves, doing exercises, to make sure that women are attracted in the organization. We can give more details on the program of women in setbacks. Another thing, I hope I followed the question on Project Ivory. If it can be repeated, I would appreciate that on the chair so that I can respond appropriately. In the meantime, I can move to the local visitors. Generally, 70% of visitors to national parks are locals, are South Africans, loyal customers. But for now, as you know, our borders are still closed. People flooding our parks are people from different provinces. Even now, we are flooded with requests. Some customers are unhappy because they can't get a space. We are also precautionary the way we open our parks, is the phased-in approach, but merely our locals using our national parks. I'm not sure, Chair, on the Ivory, I didn't get it correctly, Chairperson.
On the tourists, that's very good, knowing that they are on the Project Ivory, you did say, CEO, that things are looking good. Notice, it's always good to have statistics, because it's a good tool, measuring tool. Can you make some statistics available at some stage in terms of the drop in rhino poaching so we can actually see the success of Project Ivory?
I got it, Chairperson. Thank you very much. We'll supply those deaths. But we must say we saw a huge drop during the lockdown period in terms of the numbers. But we can supply that, Chairperson, tomorrow when we present our APP performance. Honorable Winkler, the role of APNR and the whole western boundary of Kruger, for the last 2 years, we have regularized that relationship. This is why 2 years ago we signed an MOU with all the stakeholders in the Western Boundary. I also want to indicate that, Honorable Winkler, there is no hunting in national parks. But because we are looking at a landscape approach, we want to look at issues of land use compatibility. As we speak, we want more people having access in the western boundary of national parks, especially the traditional authorities. There are new entrants to the area. The issue of concern about hunting is not necessarily regularized by us in terms of permitting. It is done by the provincial authorities. That we as sandbags, we do census with them. We agree on the quota with them. That is them who are regularizing in terms of eastern permits for hunting. Therefore, okay, it's an open system, of course, but it does have an advantage in terms of population control, because when animals feel more pressure inside the park, of course they will migrate to the bigger area. Therefore, the World Greater Potential Park project is a project that is being looked at. Even the minister requested us to present to MINMEC, because we want the best use of land in terms of water economy. Therefore, here we acknowledge the sensitivity and the concerns from some of the NGOs around the hunting, but it is allowed in other reserves, but not in national parks. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, CEO of Honorable Minister.
Thank you very much, Chair. Honorable Singh, you will see later when we get to further in this presentation that we do say that the forensic audit is complete, and at the moment we are processing that order. Forensic investigation is complete. At the moment we are processing it in terms of its recommendations. We will discuss with the committee in due course, because obviously in a situation where we may have to take remedial action, this would be our evidence in the case. So the timing of the release of that report will depend on our decisions regarding remedial action and any consequence management that there might be. But in the long run, the answer is yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. Honorable Minister, I guess that there is clarity by some parks. The need allows, we'll then invite the Minister to introduce whoever is going to do the presentation on the 2018-2019 Big Super Bash. Honorable
thank you very much, Chair. I'm handing over to the acting DG, and he will deal with the team. Thank you.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Minister, Honourable Members. If you in agreement, Chair Minister. We have discussed this, and we were proposing that I do the presentation similar to the previous one that we've done, and that if there are specific questions, the relevant DDGs would be responsible for the responses to those questions, just to save time. The Minister indicated that she may not be with us for the whole meeting. So if you agreeable, Chair, then I'll proceed with the presentation, and the questions will be responded to by the relevant DDGs, Chair. Am I audible?
Go ahead, acting DG.
Thank you. Okay, in terms of the recommendation,
issue was that the minister should take appropriate steps to ensure that unnecessary litigation costs are avoided by the department and all the entities that report to her. In that regard, what the department is doing is that branches are being trained on the implications of their decision making, and in particular with reference to recent judgments, and where there are areas of concern, those are being addressed. What we're doing as well is looking at legal opinions early on in the process of amending or developing new regulations, where particular difficulties are identified by our stakeholders or by ourselves as a department. So the idea is to reduce litigation, and we also want to produce the legally defensible decision. Another way that we're looking to mitigate this is to look at early settlement of matters to reduce litigation costs. In terms of amendments to NEMA, we're looking to provide a strengthened enabling provision where they've been found to be lacking or weak. There's also been amendments proposed in areas where the judgments that we have had recently have identified that the legislation is unclear. The second recommendation deals with specifically this program's performance compared to the previous year. In that regard, Chair, under the heading of appeals, the number of appeals have increased exponentially. Specifically in relation to mining appeals, while our internal capacity to process these appeals has remained the same. As a mitigating factor, we've decided to appoint an appeals panel to deal with some of the more complex appeals, and also to assist with our backlog. Also look at the national appeal regulations in terms of the time period for the appeal process, and this is specifically to allow more time in some instances to obtain independent expert advice. Chair, as far as the environmental impact assessments go, the achievement there was 95%, the target was 98%, so we've missed it by 3%. Basically, the applications were finalized within stipulated time frames for the year, but two decisions were finalized outside of the legislated time frame due to an incorrect time frame calculation for the December-January exclusion period. Usually there is meticulous calculation of the time frame during the December-January period. We've recalculated that period to exclude that period, Chair, and this has led to a marginal improvement of 2%. And in the current year, we saw a movement from 95% to 97% during the 2019-20 financial year. As far as our environmental programs go, the recommendation was that Minister should ensure that the department makes a meaningful contribution to growing and transforming the economy through various programs and projects, and that the department implements. Also that the entities have an important role to play in this regard. And then they mention the entities, those that undertake specifically the restoration of the ecology, as well as infrastructural upgrades and maintenance work. So in terms of the response, Chair, an NRM strategy for job creation and development projects was developed, and it was approved by the acting DDG on the 24th of June this year. The branches programs have evolved out of the model used to create the Working for Water program, which started in 1995. There's a twin focus in terms of creating work opportunities and also creating important social, economic, and environmental outputs, outcomes, and impacts through the various programs that are run under this heading. Also, under the same recommendation, research has indicated that there have been significant returns on investment from the various projects that the department has been running. Quality assurance has indicated that greater returns are possible in terms of what is being done, and through interrogating the models that we've been using to implement projects, ensuring that there's proper consequence management, and also through streamlining implementation process. So the department is committed to spread our investments to ensure that we obtain optimal returns on investment. As far as our chemicals and waste plants goes, recommendation was the minister should ensure that the department makes a meaningful contribution to growing and transforming the economy through the various programs and departmental projects that the department implements. We are supporting the waste economy by providing an enabling regulatory framework. This we're going to be doing through the waste exclusion authorization for waste such as slag, biomass, ash and gypsum that promote this type of waste as a resource and thereby promotes the circular economy. So the implementation of the extended producer responsibility is also another way that we're doing this, and we're doing it specifically for paper packaging and some single-use products. We're looking at lighting, electrical and electronic equipment as well. And we've got targets for some products that we propose to have a specific recycled content as part of the product composition. We're also supporting the waste economy through the amendment of the plastic bag regulations with a phased approach of specific recycling content as part of the product composition. That was also mentioned during our previous meeting check. Then there's also the implementation of the recycling enterprise support program that provides financial support to startups, small and medium enterprises. Excuse me, Chair. Then in terms of our forestry and natural resource management, the recommendation was we should present a strategy for tackling the repeat findings by the Auditor General. We should biological assets moving forward to ensure that the issue of biological assets does not recur in the new Department of Environment, Forestry and Fisheries. The response is that the Department has established a physical verification team and an enumeration team to address the Auditor General's findings. The findings based on the disjuncture between the volume of trees around the ground, and that is those that are captured on the system called microforest. In terms of the objectives of verification and enumeration, it will help us to determine the volumes of standing trees and compartments, as this is important for marketing and harvesting of these trees. It also assists in collecting information for the execution of correct silvicultural prescriptions, like pruning and thinning, to ensure that there's sustainable yield, and also to help to identify management objectives for long-term harvesting, to also estimate financial returns to be made, and to assist in the operational, technical, and strategic plans. Apologies, Chair, the bullets duplicated there. And then also, the explanation in terms of the how the disjuncture solved in the misstatement of the value of assets, the causes or possible causes were identified as potentially losses from theft, fire, pest, and disease. Chair, in terms of further action, they're looking at losses that will be reported in the quarterly loss reports. And they'll be accompanied by evidence, for example, cases of theft will be reported, and fire and so forth. The compartments in all the plantations will be assessed to ensure that there is data integrity, and also will be monitored by staff in the Commercial Forestry and Planning Department in the regions and at the national office. And then the annual plan of operations will be developed and approved by the Director of Forestry Management in March, the last month of the financial year. Other actions that we're proposing is that there will be monthly reports on the actual work done that will be submitted by these staff members, and update the microforest system on the 7th of every month to ensure there's alignment with the monitoring and evaluation, and also the knowledge and knowledge bank. Reporting that will happen on the 10th of every month during the financial year. Then I've already mentioned the quarterly meetings with loss and disposal at national level for the reconciliation of the losses. Chair, also under the forestry heading, The department revised APP targets in line with the recommendation by the committee. Because of the branch indicated that because of the budget cuts, some of the targets had to be reduced during this year. In terms of the 2021 financial year, and depending on the availability of the budget, the indicators will definitely increase in terms of the annual performance plan. All critical posts, especially senior management posts, should be filled as a matter of urgency to ensure forest issues are effectively and appropriately accounted for, including public resources appropriated for sustainable forest management and assets. The branch, in line with the NMARC process, it still falls under the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, and currently there's a moratorium on the filling of vacancies. We're still waiting for that task to be completed. We have written several letters in that regard, Chair. On the 26th of May, there was the branch prioritized 57 posts to be filled during this financial year, 2020 financial year. The process of job evaluation and compiling of job descriptions and also job profiles for these processes is underway, and I have processed them already. The transfer process of the positions from the former Department of Agriculture was filled out from the 1st of April, Chair. There's, however, 28 corporate support positions which still have to be transferred. As I indicated, the deleted DG letter and an intervention has been sought for the transfer of these posts. And we're looking at an organizational structure proposal to capacitate specifically this branch and the regional offices in particular. And the process of filling the senior management critical positions has commenced already. So we're also looking at a change management intervention to integrate this branch into the department. Here, under the fisheries management program, the recommendation was the minister should capacitate the branch to facilitate effective allocation of small-scale fishing rights and also curb the slow progress to prevent illegal activities by the small-scale fishers. The recommendation goes on to say that the fishing rights process has often resulted in the fisheries management branch being in the media spotlight due to alleged corrupt activities conducted by officials within the branch and or court cases instituted by commercial fishing companies. The response from the department is with the support of the minister and our support functions within the department. We've prioritized the FAP process and the completion of the allocation of the small-scale fishing rights by ensuring that we're prioritizing resources for that process. We've also been working with the next recommendation talk to the concerns raised by the small-scale and artisanal fishers, where they say that they were not benefiting from the FAP as it favors commercial fisheries. The response from the department is that we've been working with various national departments, such as the Department of Small Business Development, to ensure that much-needed resources in implementing the policy are coordinated and made available. And we've also worked with various provincial departments, municipalities, and other government agencies so that we support the small-scale fishing sector, Chair. Then the next recommendation was the accounting support that was extended by National Treasury to clean up poor governance and ineffective financial management at the branch should be extended until there's a handover to the new CFO of the MLRF. Chair, the lockdown prevented the National Treasury officials to pass government to Cape Town, but the MLRF has submitted its financial statements to the Auditor General, and we actually are hoping for an improved audit outcome this year. In terms of the capacity gap, Chair, we have prioritized, as indicated in our previous slide, the appointment of critical posts, specifically in the area of finance, as it is one of the critical functions in the department. Then the requirement was, next recommendation was that the minister should report to the committee on measures she intends to put in place to drive up break-ins at the Avalon storage facilities. In terms of that change, we've improved the security systems at the main Avalon store. We put in an upgraded alarm system, CCTV cameras. We've installed a Clearview security fence to restrict access to the actual building itself. We've installed a safe lock access door, reinforced the burglar bars, and also put measures in place to reduce the Avalon stock that's actually kept on site. Then the next recommendation related to disciplinary action against 9 departmental officials. There, Chair, we just want to advise the committee that the criminal case against the officials in Khan's Bay is proceeding in the Western Cape High Court. The next recommendation was for the minister to look at the feasibility of acquiring a new research vessel. The response here is that we're currently looking at potentially replacing both the research vessel Africana and also the Algoa, and we're looking at this in terms of the National Treasury large infrastructure projects. It's one of the submissions that has been made in this regard, Chair. The next recommendation by the committee was that we should find online and other expeditious alternative ways for application and granting of fishing license should be devised for the small-scale fishes. The pandemic has actually helped to expedite the move to online permitting application processes. They're looking at enhancing the system during the next quarter, and also to look at decentralizing the assistance to fishers in order for it to enable them to do online applications. Chair, in terms of the Chief Financial Officer, the recommendation was the Minister should authorize forensic audits where there are findings of irregular expenditure and fraud. Wasteful expenditure in the department and or the entities to ensure that public funds are used optimally and for the greatest public good. And this was necessary in light of the AG's determination that irregular expenditures would have been prevented had effective and appropriate steps been taken to avert them. So the response there, Chair, is that, and Minister touched on this in opening remarks, the disclosure on irregular fruitless innovation will be completed in compliance with the reporting framework by the end of August to make provision for information that might be picked up by the accountants during the their verification processes, Chair. Chair, of the 24 irregular tenders that were investigated, the reports have been concluded. Of these 13 were submitted to National Treasury for condemnation, where we, for example, found that there was value for money and so forth. And as Minister mentioned, some of them are still in the process of being looked at for consequence management, Chair. Then the next recommendation was the department should continue to work with the Office of the Accountant General to encourage compliance with the accounting standards, and there should be no room for any unclean audit of business moving forward. The progress in this regard should be regularly presented to the committee, and the same approach is required for the entity. In response, there has been consultation with National Treasury. We continuously work with the Accountant General to encourage full compliance with the set accounting standards that apply to all government departments. We've also got audit steering committee meetings with the Auditor General. These are held on a weekly basis to review and also check whether the department's on track in terms of compliance with the modified cash standards. Okay, the next recommendation was in relation to internal control systems being strengthened to prevent misstatements. Chair, in that regard, the response has been that internal controls have been strengthened. So we've developed annual financial statements improvement plan.
Chair, I'm getting a bit of feedback. I'm not sure if anybody was muted, Chair, and whether you can clearly hear me, but I'm assuming so, as nobody's stopped me yet. The annual financial statement improvement plan includes the following, Chair: ensuring compliance with the standard chart of accounts, and also the MCS, training implementing entities on the new and improved reporting requirements and templates, and then acquiring the services of accounting and auditing firms to assist us to validate compliance by the implementing entities, so that we ensure that there is also compliance with the government reporting framework. As I said, we've had regular meetings with Treasury and also the Office of the Accountant General, and then I've mentioned the Audit Steering Committee meetings as well, Chair. The next recommendation for the CFO was that the Minister should ensure the Department effects timeless transfer to the Isimangaliso Westman Park Authority for the effective implementation of the park operations, which depend on the government grant. So, in this regard, Chair, the Department ensures that our contribution to the entities are transferred timelessly before the 7th of each month. And we've developed a schedule to keep track of the funding paid to the entities, specifically with regard to the EPWP projects, and we verify those as well. Chair, in terms of the South African Weather Services, the recommendation there was the board should clarify the irregular appointment of an official that was referred to by the Auditor General, Chair, and the committee wanted to know whether the reference was to the same official that had been mentioned in the previous meeting, Chair. So the irregular appointment referred to by the Auditor General in the audit outcome report is not the same as the one previously discussed by the Portfolio Committee in the first Parliament, Chair. So the allegation of an irregular appointment that was this one to the Executive Corporate and Regulatory Services, whereas the irregular appointment that was referred to by the Auditor General relates to a senior manager. On the same point, Chair, regarding the irregular appointment of the senior manager research, as found in the report that was issued by the Public Protector in May 2019, the complainant in this case was a court application to set aside his, the appointment and also to be appointed into the position, or he wanted to be compensated. The Weather Services is opposing this application as far as it relates to the appointment of the complainant to that position. The matter was in court on the 27th of July and postponed possibly to a date again in September as per indications by the judge presiding over the case. Then, continuing on source, Chair, the recommendation by the committee was for the executive authority to determine the suitability of the current source board to continue serving as an accounting authority in light of the ongoing challenges there. Chair, the recommendation has been noted. It is, however, important to highlight, Chair, that the full complement of the current board assumed office in January 2019, and since then, Chair, the board has been seized with various matters that, amongst other things, are seeking to look at improved governance and leadership, as well as to resolve the current issues that the entity is faced with. There have been a significant number of policies, Chair, technical, financial, and those relating to human capital that have been developed and or reviewed by the board and for their approval. So that it sets a conducive environment for the Weather Service to operate optimally in terms of delivering its mandate. Then, Chair, on the same question, the board also reconstituted the Audit and Risk Committee to comprise of 5 members, 2 of whom are board members, and the other 3 members are independent chartered accountants. The new ARC Chair has been instrumental in effecting marked improvements in terms of the oversight role of the board. Chair, one of the recent examples of where this oversight role was significant was in relation to the relocation of a radar that was situated originally in Port Elizabeth that has been moved to Skukuza. And this now ensures that the whole south, Eswatini, and the southern part of Mozambique also have radar coverage that is critical for the tracking and monitoring of storms, Chair. Also on the point regarding the source board, Chair, and there's been several demo challenges which include alleged irregularities relating to the source office building. They've been prioritized by the board. Also, they are looking to resolve that. The legal processes have to be observed, and that these cases do take a bit of time is the response, Chair. The board hasn't condoned any irregular expenditure without a demonstration from management that all the necessary treasury regulations have been adhered to, including the implementation of consequent management in relation to the responsible official. There's also been cost containment measures being implemented and a continuous effort to identify areas of potential significant saving in order to deal with the current budget deficit. Chair, the board also played an instrumental role of performing monitoring in relation to the improved performance of the weather services infrastructure performance. And the entity has seen improvement in the infrastructure performance, particularly the radar infrastructure, and it's now peaked at 95% of radar availability. They've also embarked on a legislative review process that seeks to strengthen the organization's mandate. So they want to introduce amendments that will clarify the entity's mandate as far as climate and air quality issues go. Then the other recommendation was that the minister should follow up and report to the committee on the progress being made in the implementation of the resolution of the Portfolio Committee on Environmental Affairs in the first parliament that required the members of on the source board who voted for the termination of the former CEO to be personally held personally accountable for the fruitless and wasteful expenditure of about 2 million rand. Chair, the response is that the matter relating to the former CEO, Dr. Makuleni, has been dealt with. The Auditor General has made no finding that the expenditure arising from the settlement of the dispute between the board and the former CEO amounts to fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And for this reason, the board will not be held personally liable for this expenditure. There is no legal basis for it to happen. Then, Chair, we've already addressed Sand Parks. We'll move on to Sandby. The recommendation was that the Minister request a reputable independent forensic company to conduct reports into the AG's findings of irregular expenditure at Sandby. In this regard, the Board has appointed an independent forensic investigator to investigate the Auditor General's findings. It's expected that this would be concluded by the 31st of August. Then the next recommendation was that the Minister should take necessary steps to ensure Sandby does not retrogress and any further Sandby risks of them having an unclean audit. That runs a bit unclear, but the implementation of the external audit turnaround plan is being monitored by the Sandby Board through their Audit and Risk Committee, and they have a quarterly meeting. And as of 30th of June 2020, all the external audit finding matters had been fully attended to, Chair. As far as the recommendation goes, on this slide, Stanley was supposed to develop and present to the committee a strategy for the infrastructure upgrade and maintenance of the NZGs in Pretoria that addresses specifically safety and security as well as comfort of visitors. Chair, following a baseline assessment on the infrastructure at the National Zoological Gardens, a full list of items that needed repair, replacement and maintenance was identified. The department gave them some financial support. And Sandy will be upgrading the infrastructure, ensuring proper maintenance of the National Zoological Garden, including the Mokopa Kalani facility, and this will be done during the MTF. Then, Chair, on that point as well, there's a project team that's been formed, and they're working to ensure the completion of these infrastructure projects at the garden. The National Tourism of, Department of Tourism is also funding the appointment of 40 tourism safety monitors for deployment to address the concerns raised by the committee. Then, similarly, the recommendation in relation to finances says that the department should be working with the Office of the Accountant General to encourage full compliance with the set accounting standards that applies to other government departments. SAMBI has been engaging and continues to engage with the Office of the Accountant General as well as the Postal General to ensure there is a common understanding of the requirements of the generally recognized accounting practice standards. Sorry, Chair. The accounting practices are reviewed and amended as necessary in light of the advice that's been received from the Office of the Accountant General. New standards are being reviewed to determine their applicability to SAMBI. And where it's determined that they are applicable, these accounting processes are implemented to ensure the records reflect the disclosures that are required. So that 110 has been implemented by SAMBI after the relevant consultation with National Treasury. Chair, next on our list is Chiti Manganiso. The recommendation was that the Isimanganiso Wetland Park Authority should regain its clean audit status by improving its internal control systems to prevent, detect, and address risk. The response there, Chair, is that the AG sold audit in the 2019-20 financial statements, and to date that we've received no major findings which might result in a change in the audit opinion. Then, also on Isimanganiso Wetland Park Authority, the recommendation was to improve communication with adjacent communities as key stakeholders, that this should happen in the local language to deepen the sense of stewardship or ownership of the park, and then they also need to know the socioeconomic impact of the park on their well-being, both directly and indirectly. During the annual report presentation, Chair, management advised the committee that there was a revised stakeholder engagement strategy that was established after the appointment of the new CEO, and the improvement in terms of relationships with the communities has been significant. It was also highlighted that there was communication with traditional structures, and this enabled the communities to promote various infrastructure projects that had been stopped previously, for example, the Sodwana Bay, in the Sodwana Bay section of the park. The strategy is being implemented, and the infrastructure projects are now being implemented successfully, as there's quite a bit of communication with the traditional authorities and the communities of participating in the economic opportunities being offered by the park. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Recommendations and the responses. May I invite you now to engage the...
Honourable Wonka,
please. Chair, for the please. The CEO, please.
You're breaking up, Chairperson.
Oh, he's frozen.
Okay,
We have been slapped on a man.
Oh,
Yeah, you're breaking up too much.
Switch your camera off so that at least we have sound.
Can I proceed with the question, please?
Proceed on the moving cut.
Well, thank you. Well, so I really feel that the response given by the official box,
that is proceed on the moving cut.
Oh, thank you. Proceed
on here.
Response we received about the APNRs was wholly insufficient. The last portfolio committee in the Parliament had requested the concept document, which had envisioned the dropping of the fences between the public reserve and the private APNRs. To date, we have not received this concept document because it makes no sense that you have a national park which is meant to protect biodiversity only for that biodiversity to venture into private parks and then be hunted in somewhat controversial and unethical hunts. I wonder why is this occurring and why is this not being brought to the committee's attention so that we can interrogate whether or not this is actually a strategic or appropriate going forward. Then with regard to the waste management, the support of the informal economy and waste pickers associations, that is something repeatedly brought up in the committee. I'd like to know how many municipalities have been assisted and have successfully absorbed the informal waste picking economy into formal waste and recycling channels. We don't have sufficient land. We can't keep talking about these issues and not see actual tangible change on the ground. Then, with regard to forestry, the successful pilot projects of community stewardship, we know that there's only one. We have also brought up the fact that this should have been replicated across other municipalities as well. Then with regard to fisheries, the alternative industries. So there are obviously very limited resources in terms of oyster stocks are available. They have a growing population size that are reliant upon a source of income. And we have looked at the fact that we need alternative industries to absorb this unemployment into. And that was ecotourism as well as I think the aquaculture sector. I don't see much improvement on that side. Then with regard to source and the Sakis station, I don't see again here any recommendations on how we're going to ensure that aid stations are maintained properly, that they are monitoring within the parameters of the National Aid Quality Act, and that they're reporting adequately on the website so that we can use this data then to inform communities against health hazards. Otherwise, it's useless having these stations. Then with regard to litigation, the department has been repeatedly embroiled in litigation. There have been court judgments, and I think that these need to be taken seriously when we're drafting new legislation or any amendments to that. For example, Judge Collison and the fact that animal welfare needs to be taken into consideration when we draft any wildlife legislation going forward, for example, with the captive lion breeding. So I'd like to see that. And then just the last thing I want to say is that I hope that the department can confidently say that all the recommendations made in last year's BRRR have been addressed and that we're not going to just see a repetition of these issues now in 2019-2020 BRRR. Thank you.
Right. I believe I'm second. My questions follow up on the issue of the sea abalone storage.
We've heard about new security measures at that site. I'd like to know when the security measures were instituted. I'd like to know whether there have been any thefts since they were instituted. I want to know an approximate value of the abalone in storage. And then I'd like to know when abalone from the storage was last sold. And arising out of this store and misconduct there, the former DDP, I believe, had criminal charges against her related to the theft of abalone from the storage facility. Could we be updated, please, on the status of that case? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jefferson, and thank you for the presentation. I'd like to focus specifically on the small-scale fishers that has mentioned that resources are prioritized for small-scale fishers. So what are these resources exactly, other than fishing allocations and fishing permits? We know that in practice, a small-scale fisher gets a allocation, is unable to go and harvest that allocation because he may not have the equipment, the type of boat that he needs. So what he does is sell his allocation to a big fishing company. So the allocation that was taken away from a fishing company gets sold back, and we're back to where we are. So what other resources are being available to these small-scale fishers other than allocations? Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much, Jefferson. Thank you for the presentation. I'd like to say that I'm glad that the Minister and the Department are taking serious the recommendations of the committee as contained in the BRRR reports, you know, of 1819. I'm aware of the fact that some of them have achieved positive results and the others are work in progress. But we need to encourage the department to continue acting on the recommendations that have been made by the department. I just want to start off with, I was just reading an email now, South African Deep Sea Trawling Industry Association has put out a report on fishing rights, and they say don't make the costly errors of 2016. So it's a new report, I've just seen it now, I haven't read it in detail, but I would encourage the department, especially the fisheries department, to read this report and at some stage respond to some of the suggestions that they made with regard to fisheries. The questions around fishery that I wanted to know, wanted to ask, have been asked by Honorable Lola about the security, but I'm still concerned about the MLRF. And the court case, there was mention of a court case in Kronstein. How long has this been going on for, and those officials that are implicated, are they at work, or have they been suspended with or without pay? Then, turning to the area of litigation, I'd just like to know, we were told that there is training. Who's doing the training? And does litigation apply to both internal and external matters? Internal being staff matters, and external matters being matters with third parties. And on litigation, the appeals panel, when can we expect them to be appointed, and what is the backlog in appeals currently? We heard that there is a backlog. So what is the backlog? On forestries, you know, it's always been my contention that whether we need forestry department or not, and I feel that they are bloated in terms of human resources. And perhaps, you know, I don't know when last or whether a needs analysis was done in terms of the functions of the division vis-a-vis what is actually required on the ground. So if we can be told whether there has been that needs analysis, not current that needs analysis is. Our fisheries, to deal with small-scale fisheries and fisheries, what capacity do we currently have in terms of warm bodies to deal with all fisheries issues? Because I think in previous committees we've heard that there's been delays in issuing of permits, etc., 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 and that could be largely due to the lack of manpower within that particular section. Second last question, Chairperson, maybe the Minister will tell us about the irregular tenders and what consequences are being contemplated, and do we think we have strong cases against those officials who might have committed acts of fraud or corruption or irregular procedures? And very lastly, to the Honourable Minister, is with regard to South African Weather Services. Are you currently satisfied that the board that's staying in place are fulfilling their mandate to that particular entity and to the public? Thank you very much, yes.
Thank you very much, Honourable Sin. Colleagues, can I check if there are any other hands that want to ponder on this presentation?
Yes, sir. Yes, Honourable Chair.
Come on.
Tunu.
Honourable Tunu, you can come.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Just two issues. The first one is on the cost. Firstly, let me appreciate the presentation and all that has been presented before us. Thank you very much, Honourable Minister and the team. The first one is on the human resource, in particular from the forestry. The only part that I've seen that there's a moratorium on the post, but my only question on the 57 post, I understand they are from the Department of Agriculture and Nature. They are transferred. Are they funded as they come to the department? Do they come funded? The last one is firstly to comment the plan that is there for the internal controls by the CFO. It's a very good plan, and I would like to check if the Honourable Minister can make sure that even the entities, all the entities, follow the plan so that we are sure that they are going to get good audit outcomes at the end of the day, that they are very good when you follow them. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Kunu. Acting DG, can I invite you and then the Minister will round it off? I'm told the various DDGs are here and entities, so I'm sure each one of them have noted the questions that relates to them. After your over point, they will then come in. Acting DG.
Honourable Chair, thank you. I'm not sure the Minister wants to go first or whether I should go first, because I know Minister has to leave you.
Yes, if you don't mind, in case I do have to leave, if you don't mind my responding, I think that I've already said, honourable thing, can you allow us to process the forensic investigation? We will report to you in due course. I don't want to say any more on that at this stage. With regard to the Board of the Weather Service, I think, honourable members, we have given you a very extensive briefing document on all the concerns regarding governance, appointments, and so on in the Weather Service. And I think that report is an indication that the current board is taking their fiduciary responsibility seriously and dealing with some of the legacy issues which are, shall we agree, somewhat unfortunate. But I, at the moment, I have no reason to doubt the fact that they are taking responsibility for dealing with some of those legacy issues. With regard to the plan for internal control, I would suggest when we deal with the audit outcomes of the different departments, the honourable members should be raising this issue with the board chairs, because as you would know, the board chairs are the fiduciary authorities who are responsible for the audit outcomes. I can merely suggest what I think should happen, but it's always good when the portfolio committee instructs board chairpersons what they expect in terms of audit improvement plans. So I would suggest that you wait for that opportunity and you can then obviously make your important suggestions to the relevant fiduciary those responsible. I think, honourable members, if I'm not mistaken, I have dealt with the issues that were specifically directed to the ministry. I think other matters can be dealt with by the line function. Thank you very much. Over to you, Acting DG.
Thank you, Minister. Minister Chi, I'm going to deal with some of the issues, and I'm going to then ask the relevant DGs to deal with their specific responses. I'll deal with the ones that relate to the branch legal. So specifically, I'm going to address Honourable Winkler's request in terms of how we deal with matters that arise from litigation, and also how we influence the drafting of our legislation. Yes, Honourable Winkler, we do take into account court judgments. In some instances, we are obliged by the court to look at specific outcomes in terms of the judgment, and that impacts on the the issue specifically raised around welfare was that raised by the committee specifically in terms of our NEMA amendment legislation, and the issue around welfare was specifically taken into account in terms of the amendment in relation to the current amendment. So just to put Honourable Winkler at ease, there is a regulation that the committee requested that we insert in relation to specifically welfare. Then the other issue was in relation to the criminal cases. I'm not aware of where they are currently in terms of the criminal charges, but my understanding was that the case was proceeding in the High Court, the Western Cape High Court. I'm not certain of the exact dates when this will happen. I'll ask Sue Middleton to just indicate if she doesn't know those dates. Then the next issue was Honourable Singh in relation to who's conducting the training. So we have a litigation unit in the department, Honourable Singh. They analyze the judgments. They then make recommendations to the law reform section, and also the impacted branches that are impacted by specific judgments. So that training and that re-looking of legislation happens with the specific individuals that are impacted by that particular judgment. Then Honourable Singh also raised the issue about the training as well. It targets the senior management in terms of our meetings, and also the branches where we look at lessons learned from the judgments. And then also another important aspect is we talk to, for example, promotional administrative justice and compliance there to quite a large degree. Then, Honourable Chair, in terms of the issues related to appeals, we are looking at separate components, and I'm just going to say that In terms of the general appeals in the department, not specifically the MLRA related appeals, we have engaged the state attorney's office in terms of the panel that needs to be appointed in terms of those appointments. That is in process. We're still in the process of looking at the technical the appeal advisors. In relation to the appeal around the MLRA, we've also initiated that process with the state attorney's offices to get that capacity on board. Then the final question, and I think those are still in the procurement process in terms of the MLRA, but in terms of the backlog around appeals, Honorable Singh, at the moment, roughly we're looking at about 40 appeals that are part of the backlog process. I think, Honorable Chair, those are the issues that I can address. And then, Chair, the issue around the contract document and the APNRs, unfortunately, the Sandpark CEO has left as requested earlier, but I think we'll definitely convey the message that needs to be presented to the committee on another occasion. So I'm going to ask my colleagues, starting with Ms. Mamakala, Ms. Teneke, to address the waste issues that were raised by Honorable Winkler, and we'll move forward in terms of then waste forestry and the fisheries sections for the acting DDGs or DDGs to respond to their particular question. Thank you. Chair, can I end?
Thank you, Chair, and the Honorable Members. In terms of the issues around the waste economy and how waste are supposed to be integrated, one and the intervention on the proposed external producer responsibility regulation also recognize their importance and significance into contributing towards diverting waste recyclables. In those regulations, we are putting the producers the responsibility to ensure that they also take care of their social welfare of waste workers, because currently they are in informal economy that also assists producers to divest their products when they become waste. However, with the proposed regulation, it's about transitioning that informal economy into the formal economy. And also another intervention that we've put in place, we've got a guideline that we've developed as informed by the evidence coming from the CSIR together with the Department of Science and Innovation, the guideline on integrating waste as part of the municipal waste management system. So some municipalities are already starting to implement that guideline using methods like separation and source to formalize that waste economy. So the regulations on EPR as well as integration waste pickers, the guidelines are assisting us with regard to formalization of the informal economy. Thank you, Chair.
I'm going to ask Acting DG Moroma Leseke to please take the forestry questions.
Moroma Leseke.
Chair, I'm not sure if she's having connectivity issues because the forestry colleagues, the UED is a phone. Let me then carry on with fisheries, Ms. Middleton, and I'll try and get hold of Ms. Leseke in the meantime, Chair.
Please tell her that we have keen interest on forestry too.
No, sir, Chair.
Morning, Honorable Chair, Members, Minister, Acting DG. There were a couple of questions for fisheries. Let me start with Honourable Winkler's questions around alternative industries or alternative livelihoods. Honourable Winkler, this is a target in our current APP to develop a alternative livelihood strategy for fishing communities. And this would need to be a multidisciplinary and intergovernmental responsibility and response, because the fisheries fund can only deal with fisheries-related activities such as aquaculture, boat building, boat repairs, net repairs, bait and tackle. And alternative livelihoods would have to be far broader than that and involve other departments as well. In terms of Honourable Lerner's questions around the abalone store, we have just completed a stock count as part of the audit process, and the estimated value of the stock on hand is estimated at 60 million. The last sale took place in May 2020 this year, and that was the selling of processed or dried abalone. In terms of our policy, the stock that is in the store is wet abalone, and only dried and processed abalone may be sold. We are not permitted to sell wet abalone. So we are in the process of appointing a service provider to process and dry the abalone on our behalf, and it is expected that the next sale will take place within a month to 6 weeks. In terms of the question about where have there been any thefts, since I've been acting, there have been two attempted robberies on the store, but unsuccessful, which points to the fact that the increased and heightened security systems are working. Honourable Lerner also asked about criminal charges against the former DDG. I'm not in a position to comment on the status of those criminal charges. Being investigated by the courts. But in terms of the disciplinary processes against the DG, former DDG, she is currently challenging her dismissal, and that hearing is set down for later this month. In terms of the question from Honourable Paulson, resources and support to small-scale fishers, we are working with the Department of Small Business Development to provide various developmental support to the small-scale cooperatives. We are also working with municipalities and provincial administrations in terms of development support and financial support to small-scale fishers. And then we have a number of NGOs and enterprises that are assisting, for instance, SAMHSA with vessels. Honourable Steen's question about the Hunt buying case, I can confirm that the 11 officials were suspended at the time. Their suspension period has since lapsed. They are back at work. With the new department moving to death, disciplinary charges against the officials have been instigated, and the disciplinary process actually starts tomorrow. In terms of the case in the High Court, it is proceeding, and that case was set down to start at the beginning of the year and run until the end of September. But I'm informed that due to COVID, there have been some delays because of there were court wasn't sitting at the time. So it's likely that the period will be extended. In terms of the capacity issue, Honourable Singh, I think you asked what is the capacity of a small-scale directorate. It is very small and under-capacitated component. It has 8 permanent staff members and 4 contract workers. And that is a unit that we do need to look at increasing the capacity. Then yes, Honourable Singh, I think you are referring to an article that has just been released by SASTIA, the South African Deep Sea Tool Industry Association. We are aware of that, and we will be reading it. But I think the point needs to be made that a lot of industries and associations are positioning themselves for the new rights allocation process. And the department will look at comments and inputs, but we have to bear in mind that they're lobbying the department, and we have to put that in perspective as well. Thank you. I think those are all the questions that were asked of fisheries.
Thank you, DG.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to ask our acting DG for the air quality to just respond to the issues around the SACMIS and the weather station. Honourable Winkler's question. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Acting DG. Good morning, Honourable Members. Good morning, Honourable Minister. Perhaps, Chair, before I start, let me talk to Section 8 of the Air Quality Act that places the responsibility to monitor air quality in the Republic squarely within the provinces and the municipalities. And the Minister has partnered with her entity, the South African Weather Services, to host the South African Air Quality Information System, which we call the SACWIS abbreviated. So the purpose of the SACWIS is to collate all the data that is being monitored in all the other stations and display it in a public user-friendly manner so that all South Africans can view the data. But there is another step, which is what Honourable Winkler is referring to, ensuring that the stations themselves are working and recording the data optimally. That is, we do that on a regular basis. The minister stations are managed by the entity, the South African Weather Services, which are sitting in the priority areas. In a previous meeting, Chair, I did speak a little about the challenges we have around vandalism of the stations and the storage, the fact that some of the power lines that supply power to the stations get stolen by the criminals maybe. And so that affects whether the station can meet the minimum data requirements. At the moment with load shedding, it's also the same thing. The stations cannot operate when there is no electricity. And you can't necessarily use a generator because what you then do is monitor the emissions that are coming from that generator. Notwithstanding, Chair, we had a project where we have just a number of stations that are representative. The National Air Quality Indicator Project, and we ensure Minister supplied resources for that to at least have those ongoing data and reporting so that we can look at the policy interventions and their efficiency over the years. The other stations, we work with the other spheres of government to ensure that they collect data and we report to the SACWIS. But we do have data gaps in some cases where perhaps the AM municipality has not provided sufficient funds to maintain the station and make it work. But we assist Chair from time to time through the working group and the MINMEC structures on that one. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, in terms of the forestry questions, they are having connectivity issues, Chair. The question by Honourable Winkler in terms of the replication of the pilot projects, Chair, I want to mention to the committee that the forestry branch is in the process of developing a master plan that will look at how we can replicate successfully these community projects across the country. The ministers also requested that we look at our plantations specifically in relation to our BNC type plantations to see how we can optimize the interaction between the forestry branch and the surrounding communities and ensure that these community projects are actually expedited and that we can achieve scale in terms of some of these initiatives, Chair. That's the first question, and then there was another question in relation to the posts or whether the forestry posts were funded, Chair. I'm advised that they are in fact funded, Chair, and I think that takes care of all the honourable members' questions apart from the one for the APRs, I'll ask the CE to address subsequently, Chair. Thank you.
Good evening, DG. Noticing if you have been following the chat, I know Honourable Winkler has an appetite of typing. So she has been typing there. If you may just have a look at the meeting chat. But let me check with honorable members if in their view all the questions have been sufficiently answered. Honorable members, maybe follow-ups, last bite.
Honorable Winkler, Chairperson?
Likewise, Honourable Winkler, is it only yourself, Honourable Winkler? If that's the case, please continue.
Thank you. So, thank you for that response on the Saki station. What I wanted to highlight was that it's not only about the quality of data, it's also what parameters are being measured. So, you're supposed to have a measuring of or monitoring of particulate matter. You can't only have sulfur dioxide, carbon dioxide, and you know the other chemicals. Particulate matter specifically is very hazardous to public health. So a lot of stations are reporting on those parameters. So a lot of the interventions that STAPIS is going to take in collaboration with the municipalities and the provinces to ensure that they're monitoring on all those necessary parameters. And in instances where municipalities cite a lack of funding, what takes place? Because there's obviously legislation that's been contravened there. And I think funding and resources can't just be used as an excuse ad nauseum as to why we aren't providing sufficient air quality data. People are getting sick. So what is our plan then going forward? And then I'd like to know, for all these recommendations that we've been putting through, we need some time frame. When these targets and targets on when these recommendations are going to be implemented. Otherwise, we're going to constantly just be raising the same issues with no tangible outcomes. Thank you.
Honourable Chair, I'm going to ask Dr. Kumalo to just address the issue around the PM reporting and the stations, and then I'll talk to the issue around the time frames, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Acting DG. Thank you, Honourable Chair. On the issue of PM, Chair, in the previous meeting, I indicated that correctly so, all the stations must monitor PM because it's generally a problem pollutant in the Republic. However, not all pollutants are a problem in all areas. I made the example of the pollutant we call ozone, which you don't necessarily need to monitor at the point of generation because it is a secondary pollutant that happens with the photochemical reaction in the atmosphere. So what you have
being emitted, it will be nitrogen dioxide or off-hazardous nitrogen in general, and then there will be that photochemical reaction in the atmosphere. So you will only start to pick up ozone at some distance far away from the station. Well, notwithstanding, the standard for PM2.5 was promulgated after the first suit of standards were promulgated by the minister. So what we are now doing is ensuring that we get particulate matter monitoring instruments that can monitor dual pollutants. So we work with so in all the 90 stations I was talking about earlier, for example, we ensure that we monitor both PM2.5 and PM10. And then in other stations that are outside the NACI bracket, we also monitor PM10 and PM2.5. There are challenges around whether all the stations can work efficiently, which I think I'm not going to belabor that point. But I agree, Chair, that we need to be monitoring PM, and that is why the Department and the municipalities are focusing on that. We have different capacity building programs with the municipalities and provinces to ensure that they have the capacity to do this work, and I think we have provided the previous reports on the capacity programs that we have, and we also assist in some cases. Maybe if the problem is a simple data logger, we supply a data logger where available at the weather services, so that station can transmit the data to the circuits, because there's monitoring, then there's data transmission, and then there's data display in the actual circuits chain. So I hope I have covered the questions sufficiently this time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I hope so too. It's fine. I think that brings us to the end of the meeting. I think, DG, there was one issue you wanted to clarify so that we close.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Chair, is this an Honourable Winkler's issue in terms of when will we implement the recommendations, Chair? In the presentation, in terms of some of the recommendations, exactly the dates on which those recommendations were concluded. So, for example, we said we conclude the forensic investigations by X date. So if there's anything specific that Honourable Winkler would like us to clarify, we'd be happy to do that. If you can just indicate specifically which target she wants us to have time frames for. Because we're talking about the 2018-19 BRRR chair where we've implemented most of the recommendations and we've indicated where some are still in progress, Chair. So if there's anything specific, Chair, we'd request that she kindly indicate to us in writing and we'll respond accordingly, Chair. Thank you. Honourable Winkler, you can send that to me. I'll ensure that it gets attended to. Thank you, Chair.
Copy, Acting DG. There's protocol here. All questions from the committee must go via the Chair. Interrupt parliamentary protocol.
We'll forgive you for now. In fact, I had also noted that you almost took over my meeting, DG. There was a time you were just giving people to speak as and when you please, but again, you're forgiven. If there's any matter that seeks clarity from any member of the portfolio committee, it will be directed to the ministry. And in the event where there are technical issues, the ministry will speak directly to, and then they will come back in the same way. Colleagues, that brings us to the end of today's meeting. I want to take this opportunity to appreciate your continuous support and further lobby you that Honourable C, in your meetings of the Chief Whips, tell them that we have a permanent problem in the Eastern Cape, and therefore as such I'm a take home by including the salary. I say that the chairperson of the committee appears on the screen. There's a problem. But with that being said, the minister will be able to appreciate yourself and your team for having responded timelessly, and we hope that all these other issues that
and forestry that say happy have a day to all of you. We meet at 2 o'clock in the plenary and tomorrow again in the performing committee. Thank you very much. The meeting stands adjourned.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Bye,
everybody.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Chairperson.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Of course, Chairman. How are you? Chairperson. Okay.
Great, brother.
George.
Yeah, I'm a schoolmate.